Thank you, Brother Ken. It's a joy to be here tonight. I'm grateful for the day the Lord's given us and thankful for the hope that we have in Christ tonight. Anyone who would want to live in this world forever, there's something wrong somewhere. But I'm grateful tonight we do have a blessed hope. Thankful that there is a land waiting on us. And by faith, the hymn writer said, we see it afar. But one day our faith will become sight. Dr. Vance Hebner said heaven was worth everything just for what wasn't there. And that's true, isn't it? A great land of no mores. And I'm grateful and thankful tonight. And you appreciate the good singing, Brother Tim, the choir, and the churches that are gathered together. It's a joy to hear the singing tonight. Luke's Gospel again this evening, if you'll find your place there, in chapter number 8 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8. If you've ever been to Sunday school, Bible school, or stayed awake during 35% of the preaching, you'll remember this text. Now it came to pass on a certain day, Luke 8:22, it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. We thank God tonight for the reading of his precious word. You may be seated. This familiar story of Jesus calming the storm is a story that's not hard to understand. The story is simple. But the reason for the story is sometimes overlooked. And it's the reason for the story tonight that I want to call your attention for a few moments by the help of the Lord. The message of Luke's gospel is that God sent his son to be the Messiah. God sent Jesus into this world to redeem men from sin and to set them free from the bondage and penalty of condemnation. And part of that saving purpose for which God sent his son included a demonstration of the Savior's power, his power over every area and every aspect of life. The Gospels record stories of his power over disease. We read stories about his power over death. We read stories about his power over demons and demonic possession and all types of influences and addictions and problems. Without question, anyone who reads the gospel understands that Jesus has power over everything. But in this text that I've read tonight, the disciples are about to see our Lord's demonstration of power in a realm in which they had never witnessed that power before. It is in the area of nature. Specifically, Luke mentions twice in the text the words wind and water. He mentions it in verse 23, and again it's mentioned in verse 24, and again he mentions the water down in verse number 25 and the winds. It's a dominant thought in these few passages of Scripture that our Lord has power over the wind and the water. When you think about it tonight, wind and water are two of the most powerful forces in nature. You've probably heard the old saying, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. I want to let you in on a little secret why they don't tonight. Because they can't. There ain't a thing in the world they can do about it. They've tried, but they can't do a thing about it. They can run Doppler radars and all types of technical equipment. They can tell you when it's going to hit your community. Sometimes they're so accurate, they can tell you the exact moment that it's going to come into your neighborhood. And then on other occasions, they can say there's no chance of precipitation and you can sweep 3 inches off the front porch when the morning comes. Man can't do anything about wind and about water. It is totally in the hands of God. There's so many things in life tonight that you and I can do absolutely nothing about. Absolutely nothing about. There's a lot of things going on in this tabernacle tonight that you have no control over whatsoever. There are things in all of our families tonight. If we could put a stop to it, we'd have put a stop to it years ago. But we have no power over those things. There are things tonight that we'd like to get rid of, but we just can't get rid of it in and of ourselves. I'm glad to tell you there is a power tonight. There is a person with that power who has control over everything, not only in this world, but everything in your life. It's one thing to know tonight that he can control the armies in the Middle East. It's another thing tonight to know that he can control the weary underneath this roof. It's one thing to know that he has girded the mountains with his power. But another thing tonight to know he can touch a young person's life in this building tonight and save them by his grace. He is that kind of a Savior. Jesus is the key to this story. That's what he did in the story. He brought a calm to the situation. And it's more than just a simple story in and of itself. It's a story about his power and the disciples witnessing his power and trusting him to use his power to meet a need in their heart and life. Not only is it about what he done here, but he's demonstrating that he can control nature. You see, Messiah not only had prophecy about his first coming, but Messiah had prophecy about his second coming. When he would come and control winds and water and fire and nature. Now, those of you worried about global warming, don't. There is no such thing. There is no scientific evidence tonight for global warming. You say, preacher, you're not a scientist. I know that's what really makes them so dumb, is that I'm just a common man, and I know that there's nothing to it. This earth is not going to melt by global warming. Peter said this earth is going to melt with a fervent heat that is caused by the judgment of God. I am not worried about global warming, not worried about an ozone hole. I'm not worried about oil running out, not worried about any of that stuff. I just want to be ready to meet him whenever he comes and when he calls us home. You see, Messiah must be able to control wind and nature in Luke 8. In order to be able to control what he's going to control whenever the millennial kingdom comes into this world. I'm glad the Savior could handle it on the Sea of Galilee, and he'll handle it again when he comes in power and glory. He's in control tonight. Man isn't in control. He is in control. He has that power. Psalm 62:11 said, God has spoken once, twice, have I heard this? That power belongeth unto God. Aren't you glad that it does tonight? Power belongeth unto God. Psalm 106:8 says, nevertheless, he saved them, speaking of the children of Israel, for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. And he did that, didn't he? Brought them up to the Red Sea, mountains on each side, Pharaoh behind them. What'd God do? Through his power, he opened that thing up, caused it to stand upon a heap while they crossed over on dry ground. He is a God of power. And the same one on the vessel in Luke chapter 8 is the same one who held back the Red Sea whenever the children of Israel marched over. Same one in Luke 8 is the same one that's in this building tonight and living in your heart. He's a Savior who has all power. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. So the Messiah has come. The Savior has been born. And now he's on a vessel with disciples crossing over the Sea of Galilee. They have watched him raise the dead. They have watched him release disease out of bodies. They have watched him handle demons. But they've never seen him control nature. They've never seen him calm an angry sea. They've never witnessed him make the waves lay down like a pup. I'm preaching tonight on the calm that he creates. The calm that he creates. Most folks look at this text and preach on the storm, and nothing wrong with that. But more than a storm, the amazing thing in Luke 8 is not the storm. It's the calm that he created in the midst of the storm. Listen to people testify. They'll spend 90% of their time telling you about their storm. If they ever see Jesus, they'll spend 90% of their time telling you about the calm that he created in the midst of their storm. It's one thing for waves to lap up. It's another thing for waves to lay down. It's one thing for winds to blow, it's another thing for winds to cease. It's one thing to be afraid because of the water, and another thing to tremble because you're in the presence of somebody that has the power to do something about it. I'm more afraid of him tonight than I am the storms. I have more respect for him tonight than I do what lashes against my life. He is God, and he comes tonight to create the calm that we have in our life. There are three calms in this text that I've read tonight. Notice with me, first of all, the calm before the storm. In verse 22, everything's calm. Now it came to pass on a certain day, nothing wrong with that, is it? He went into a ship with the disciples. Everything's still okay, isn't it? And he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. They've done that before, no problem. And they launched forth. Everything's going well. There's a calm before the storm. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Nothing really unusual. And the Bible said up to this point, there's a calm before the storm. Some of us are living in that calm before the storm. The calm before the storm is about them and him. They are obeying the Lord. Now Jonah gets in a storm out of disobedience. They're about to get in one out of obedience. This is about them and him. Everything's going well. He said, let's get in the ship, go to the other side. They obey the Lord, they get in the ship, and they're making their way to the other side. Notice in the text it said, and as they sailed, in verse number 23, as they sailed. It indicates no storm, no visible problems. They're sailing right along in life, enjoying the calm. Nothing wrong with enjoying the calm before the storm. Even this calm is one that he created. You know that the Creator just put it in life that some days things are naturally at peace and things are just smooth sailing. He's the designer behind that as well. If you had a good day today, he was the creator of that calm. He made everything work just like he intended for it to work. So everything's going along fine. The Bible said in Luke's gospel here that our Savior in verse 23, that he fell asleep. Some would suggest at the moment that he went to sleep that the disciples got all bent out of shape. I disagree. If you read Mark chapter 4, you'll find that our Lord had spent a full day of intensive teaching. Remember, he's tired in his humanity. He goes and pillows his head, Mark tells us, and he lays down. He's just asleep because he has exerted great amount of energy. And so he's resting as they're sailing. No doubt they turn and look at the master and they understand why he's asleep. They're not afraid because our Lord's asleep. They know why he's asleep. He's asleep because he spent all day teaching.
like you Baptists do when we really get into a sermon and really preach about 15 minutes. It just puts you down, you know. It wears you out. You had to read four verses. It just zaps you of your strength. Our Lord's been teaching all day, and so he just goes to sleep. There's still a calm. No reason to expect anything else in life. Now, they don't know what's coming, but the Lord knows what's coming. As a matter of fact, he's already ordered the storm. He was the one that had it designed before he ever laid down and went to sleep. You say, I have trouble believing that. Well, then you've got trouble tonight, because he's in charge of it. He created the storm. He controlled the storm. And he calls the storm to cease. That's who he is tonight. He's in charge of every aspect of our life. I'm glad I'm not groping for the wall tonight. I'm glad I'm not going through here like a blind man that don't know where I am or where I'm headed. I'm glad he's in control. There's a calm before the storm. He's not worried. He has no fear. He is God, and he's in control. What you're worried about tonight? He ain't. What you're uptight about? He's not. What you're afraid of? He is not afraid of. That's why we rest in him tonight. That's why we run to him, so he can succor us when we are tempted and when we're lured away. If you're in a calm tonight, it's because the one in charge has given you that calm, and you ought to enjoy it while you're in it. You ought to thank God for it if you're in it tonight, because he has designed it. Now, on this ship with him in verse 22 is his disciples. Now, could have been more than 12. The word disciple there means learner. There were different groups and different stages of people on board this vessel. Not everybody in the Bible that's called a disciple was saved, for many of his disciples went back from him. The word in your Bible means a learner. It means a student. Everybody in here tonight's not on the same level with our Lord. Some have moved up closer than others. Some have just gotten saved and just gotten in. But I'm glad we're on board tonight, aren't you? So this isn't about the super spiritual, and this isn't about the elite, and this isn't about the crowd that shouts, and this isn't about just the crowd that goes to camp meeting. I mean, there's a little bit of everything on board with him, but he's still in control of it all, because he is the creator of the calm. Christ knows what level they're on. Some will learn from this story. Some will leave after this story is over. It all depends on how they handle the calm. You said, I thought it was all about how we handle the storm. No, you can't handle the storm. It ain't about how you handle a storm. It's about how you handle the calm. That's what'll prove out tonight whether or not you're going to stay with it. Because how you handle the calm will testify to whether or not you're trying to handle your life or whether you're letting him handle your life. I mean, these boys are trained to handle storms. They've been on the Sea of Galilee before when the water slapped them in the jaw. Now, they ain't never been anything like this. But on the other hand, they've never had anybody on board like him. And it's that crowd that comes out on the other side pointing to him. They're the ones that'll move on toward the cross. See, there's a calm before the storm. They're about to see something and experience something that was going to have a massive impact on their faith. Now, you remember, they've watched him raise the dead. They've seen him tell demons to flee. They've watched him touch limbs that wouldn't work, and they work. They've watched him speak a word, and people that had fever, their fever went down just like that. I mean, just like that. They've watched all of that. But, brother, it's about to get personal. They've never been slapped on the side of the face to the degree they're about to get slapped. They've never been in a situation to the degree that they're about to be in. And they're going to be amazed, not at the storm. They're going to be amazed at the power he has to bring calm to their life. The ship, the sea, the students, and the Savior. At this point, everything is calm. But if it remains that way, the students will never learn. If it remains that way, the sea will never recognize her creator. You see, things have got to change in life so we'll recognize who's behind the calm. Sometimes we think we work it out in our own life and we pat ourselves on the back and say, man, this calm I'm enjoying, I kindly help bring that along myself. Oh no, it's a calm that He has created, the calm before the storm. Now this is our favorite calm. Us, Him, smooth sailing, no storms. I want to call this the Baptist calm. This is what Baptists like. They like us, Him, smooth sailing, and no storms. As a matter of fact, when churches call preachers, they turn over to the resume page and they're looking for us, Him, smooth sailing, and no storms. And if he can bring that, that's the man God wants him to have. I want to tell you something. If all we ever have is us, Him, smooth sailing, and no storms, there'll be no miracles on the other side of the sea. The students will never learn. The Savior will never demonstrate His power. And creation will never bow to its Creator. Hey, He's got us in a storm, but He's going to take us. He's going to take us to a greater storm level so we can enjoy a better level of calm. Hey, their calm is going to be different when they get out of what the Lord's are putting them through. The calm before the storm. Them and Him. That's all that's going on right here is them and Him. Look at verse number 23 with me tonight. Secondly, I want you to notice the calm during the storm. Now the calm before the storm is about them and Him. They're happy, they're peaceful, they're fine. He's asleep, he's fine. It's about them and Him. Everybody's doing well. But the calm during the storm is going to be all about Him. They're going to wring their hands. They're going to come to conclusions that they shouldn't come to. They're going to look at logic instead of power. They're going to realize how impotent they are. They're not going to understand, but He's going to be asleep on the ship. He's just as calm as a May morning. I'll tell you something, you'll go through life and there'll be no calm except what's in Him. What's in Him? You see, we can't live in our favorite calm all of our lives. We can't just stay us and Him, no storms and smooth sailing. If we're going to grow in faith, and that's what this story's about, it's about faith. It's about recognizing who He is and the power that He has. It's about experiencing the calm that He came to bring and knowing that our peace rests in Him. Oh, there's a calm before the storm and a calm during the storm. All of a sudden, the tranquility and the peace and the obedience of this journey is replaced by a deadly storm. I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight. You know the story. But it said in verse 23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. If you do a word study of all of those words, it tells us that this was basically a storm with hurricane force winds. I mean, it came down. The Bible says that means it descended, which was typical of that part of the Sea of Galilee. In other words, everything began to be threatening, life-threatening, and very dangerous. But you know where the calm was? The calm was in the ship, asleep on a pillow, and his name was Jesus. It isn't about how can I keep this from happening in my life. That ain't the question. It's where is he when it's happening, and how do I get to him in the midst of it all? It's about Jesus tonight, not about us, but it is about Jesus. Here comes the storm. The ship was filled with water, and I'm not a sailor either. I'm not a scientist, and I'm not a sailor, but I got enough sense to know that ain't good to have a ship filled with water. And the disciples said to him, look at the text, they said, Master, we perish. Master, they said, we perish. If you go to Mark and Matthew's account of it, Matthew 8, Mark 4, I think one of them said Lord over there, and some liberals say, you see, that's a contradiction. No, that ain't no contradiction. Here's probably 12, 16, 20 disciples on this ship, and waters are coming in, and brother, they didn't go down in the hull and have a meeting and say, we're going to have one man go up and wake him up. No, one of them's over there hollering, Master. The other's hollering, Lord. I mean, they're trying to get his attention. They know he's the only one calm in the midst of all of this tonight. You see, in that calm before the storm, it's about them and him. But in this calm during the storm, it's just about him. He's the focal point of it all tonight. Would God Baptist could get back there tonight where he's the focal point of our lives. He's the one we need tonight. Instead of all our expertise, instead of all of our badges, how many nautical miles we've sailed, how many camp meetings we've done, how many songs we've sung, and how many of this and how much of that. Brother, you can throw that overboard tonight. He's the center of attention when you need help in the midst of the storm. The calm before the storm's about them and him, but now the calm during the storm, it's just about him. It's about him tonight. He's the only one looks like got his act together on board here. I mean, he ain't worried about anything. Now, I got enough sense, too, to know that if there's water coming in the ship and it's bothering them, there's got to be water in the ship touching him. But he ain't worried about it because he has power over it. Amen. I want to tell you what's going on in your life tonight may be touching you and bothering you. It ain't a bothering him tonight. You say, why, preacher? Praise God, he's done conquered it all by his power. Amen. I mean, he's done handled it all. He's done handled every bit of it. Now, they concluded in verse number 24, they concluded that they were going to perish. They concluded this thing was going to kill them. You ever been there? This is going to kill us. If we don't get this family thing, it's going to kill us. Now, I understand that. I mean, if you're going down the third time, you're pretty much going to conclude, if I don't get some help, I'm going to drown. They're coming to conclusions. Now, they'd been in storms before. These boys wasn't novices. They knew what it was to have water in the boat. They knew what it was to get a lung full every now and then. They had been out there on that sea, but not of this proportion, not of this magnitude, not to this degree. Had they ever seen it and ever been there? Hey, it's one thing for our Lord to calm the fever of Simon's mother-in-law. That's one thing. That's kind of a light demonstration of his healing ability. But brother, when he starts making limbs work that didn't work, and when he starts restoring withered hands, he's moving up in the level of their faith. And now he's showing them, no matter what proportion of trouble you face in life, I'm your calm in the midst of all of that. I'm the one that'll help you through it and take you out on the other side. Oh, they're beginning to see a level that they could not handle. We're about to enter into those waters tonight as the church. Matter of fact, we're already in those waters. We're about to see things of proportion and magnitude that we've never witnessed before in this world. You think it's something for somebody to slam the door in your face when you're on visitation? Brother, you're about to have them verbally persecute you for just being a child of God. A dear Christian young lady that goes to Poplar Springs. Her father is a preacher. Her grandfather is a preacher. Just this past week, she told me that while on her job, she was walking down the hallway to a room, and one of her co-workers came down and said, "How are you, Miss Holier Than Thou, Miss Righteous?" I mean, just took a shot at her. I mean, for no apparent reason. She said, "What would make someone do that?" I said, "Evidently your lights are shining." I said, "Evidently the salt's got in the wound." I said, "Evidently they were drunk last night and you wasn't." Evidently you got up in the same bed with your husband and she got up in a bed with somebody that wasn't hers. I said, "That's exactly what's happening." I said, "Stand for what's right. And brother, understand this. He is our calm in the midst of those storms. It's all about Him tonight. All about Him. Christ is getting ready to work in this situation. They cried, Master. In our text, it means leader. They're saying, leader, teacher, we're perishing. Teach us something in this. They cried, Lord, over in Matthew and Mark. What they're saying is, you're sovereign in this. They're saying, we have no control over the storm nor the calm. Oh, would to God, I wonder what happened tonight if God would bend an ear to the altar in this camp meeting and bend an ear to the altars in the morning and hear folks say again, Lord, Master, teach me something in this. Lord, control this for me. I cannot control it. Been a long time since that kind of language has been used in the altar. Most of it now is, Lord, heal Mama, and God, give me a better job, and God, help me not to lose what little I have. I want to tell you, this ain't about that tonight. This is about the calm that He creates when you can't control anything in life. The raging of the water. Notice He talks about this wind and the water. It said the wind, notice verse 24, then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. That indicates a storm that had an effect on the sea as well as the disciples. Don't miss that. This storm wasn't just about them. This storm was about everything that He created. He created that sea that's under turmoil. I want to remind you of something tonight. You're not the only fish on the pond, brother. You're not the only duck going down the creek. I mean, that sea that He created so peacefully has now been churned. I want to remind you, this old earth is a groaning and a moaning tonight for the Lord to come again and lift the curse off of all of this. Every time something happens in nature, all of these liberal journalists get on television and these meteorologists and try to explain why it's happening. And some smart aleck will say it's because you've sprayed your hairspray in the air too many days. And it's caused some monkey to fall in Africa and splatter a creek and caused a ripple to back up to the Aegean Sea. And it ended up running over to John's River. That's about how they come up with it all. Just totally, I want to remind you tonight, just as sure as your old body is awaiting for redemption, this old earth that we're in, the night's a groaning. She's a cracking. She's a sliding. She's wanting out from under the curse. Amen. Well, I got good news. Praise God, it's going to be lifted one of these days. Amen. And although the Jehovah's Witnesses has got it screwed up, I'm not. I'm glad God's going to straighten this thing out one day. Amen. This earth's going to be renewed as God said it would in the Scriptures. I just want to remind you tonight, you're not the only one that needs His calm. There's more going on here than you and your little problem. I mean, the whole outfit here needs Him. What's in the boat needs Him. What's outside the boat needs Him. The sea needs Him to do something. Well, my Lord, the sea can't stop it. I mean, the warm air is coming down, mixing with that cold water that's just melted off the snow-capped Mount Hermon that's fed that Sea of Galilee. The down deep, there's another current running one way and one running the other. All that stuff's a sloshing. And then the Master said for it too, everything's in turmoil. Everybody needs Christ tonight. It don't matter where you are, who you are, everybody needs a Lord. You say, boy, that lost Muslim across the road, he sure needs God. Look in the mirror. You say, oh, preacher, that racially mixed couple in the trailer park, they sure need God. I'll tell you what, look at that racially balanced couple in the mirror. They need God too. You say, boy, that man's boy down there at the school bus that throws rocks at cars, he sure needs God. Your little angel needs the Lord too, brother. Your children need Jesus. You say that liberal church having a puppet show tomorrow night needs God. They don't need Him any worse than you need Him right where you are tonight. Hear me. We need Christ. We're not the only ones in the midst of all this. Amen. It's not just you. There's other disciples on the board. And even that sea needs the Creator to do something with it. To do something with it. Now that calm before the storm, that's our favorite calm. Us and Him, no storm, smooth sailing. But this calm during the storm, this is our needed calm. Just Him. Just Him. It's Jesus tonight. Amen. It's just Jesus. Everything else is a filling up. Everything else is a flowing over. Everything else is in jeopardy. Everything else is going crazy. Everything else is a raging. Everything else is a rocking. But there was a calm. And He is that calm in the midst of it all. I'm going to tell you what, when I lay down tonight, gas is going to be the same price. I got gas last night for $3.63 a gallon on my way home. Made a wrong turn over here. I was going to look somewhere else and ended up over at Hess Station, $3.63 a gallon. I made a wrong turn, seen $3.63. I said, thank you, Lord, and moved right in and sat right there. There's a poor fellow in front of me in an S10 pickup. He had every can. I think he had his wife's canning jars in the back of his truck. That fella filled up everything he had. There ain't no way an S10 pickup will hold $120 worth of gas, but that's what he pumped. He's filling up everything that he had. I'm going to tell you something tonight. When I lay down tonight, it ain't going to change the price of gas, but I'm laying down with calm tonight. Amen. When I lay down tonight, that ain't going to stop sin up and down the streets. But thank God there's a calm that He created and I can rest Him tonight. It's about Him. Baptists need to get on up the line. Get away from just us, Him. No sailing, no smooth sailing, no storms. And just get to Him tonight. That's our needed calm. The calm before, the calm during. But look briefly with me. At verse 24 and 25, the calm after the storm. Verse 24, then He arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. You see, that first calm is about Him, about them and Him. That second calm is just about Him. But now this third calm is about Him and them. Did you notice that first calm is about them and Him? Them first and then Him with them. But then it's all about Him. And then after it's all about Him, it ends up more about Him than it does them. Amen. Right. Him and them. No, it ain't as much about you and Jesus. You know, there's a song years ago, "Me and Jesus got a good thing going." You... Enough said. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. That's more down the line, isn't it? Now it's about Him and them. Not about them and Him. It's about Him and them. The emphasis is on Him now. Because He is the calm. Bible said, then He arose at their cries of desperation and need. Now notice what the text said in verse 24. He rebuked the wind. And Luke said, the raging of the water. And notice, they ceased. Both of them ceased. The wind and the water. You say, well, what's important about that? Well, wind can die down anytime. And the liberals say that's all that happened. The wind just died. And you know, wind can be blowing and just absolutely be still. But I'm glad Luke told us that not only did He rebuke the wind, but He rebuked the raging of the water. If there's any Baptist preachers in here tonight who have ever visited the coast, I know you have never went to the beach. But if you have ever visited the coast to visit a sick church member who was in the hospital at North Myrtle, and you had to go down and see them, made a 10-minute visit and stayed a week and a half. If you've ever been down there, and I've watched movies of the ocean, so I know this. If you've ever been down there, you can have a storm come through at 1 o'clock in the evening. And I mean, the winds are howling, and them waves are churning out there. And then the winds go, the lightning goes, the rain ceases. And 6 hours later, them waves are still lapping from what happened way back out yonder 4 hours ago. And even in the morning, the undertow can be so bad that those who go out in the water cannot even safely swim. I want you to know, when your Savior stepped up on that vessel and he said, rebuked it, literally he said, be still. And not only did the wind cease, but the ripple effect died all the way back to wherever it started. It died down. Perfect calm. I'm preaching to you about a Savior tonight who can bring a calm in your life that'll backtrace 15 years and will run out ahead of you a half a mile and calm everything behind you, around you, and in front of you. He has that power. They said, Master, we perish. He said, be still. And she laid down. That's the calm that he creates. Well, if I get saved, how's that going to affect my friend? If I get saved, what's going to happen? Be still. I'm saying, if you throw a rock on a fish pond and watch the ripples start going out, if he says, be still, ripples are gone. Before the rock ever hits the bottom, he can stop the ripples. There are no backlashes with God's grace. He can keep things from happening that you fear the most tonight. He's that kind of a Savior. Well, the calm before the storm, that's our favorite storm, our favorite calm. Us, him, no storm, smooth sailing. The calm during the storm is just him. That's our needed calm. But the calm after the storm, that's our greatest calm. Him and us. Notice this, and I'm through. He said to them in verse 25, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid. What are they afraid of? You say, well, they were afraid of the storm, preacher. Turn back to Mark's gospel for just a moment, Mark 4. And I want you to look at verse 40 and 41. This is the same account. Mark 4, verse 40 and 41. Luke doesn't tell us anything about them being afraid until after the calm came. Now, Mark tells us that they had been fearful in Mark 4, verse 40, after he rebuked and said, peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Look at verse 40 of Mark 4. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? He's talking about, why were you afraid of the storm? How is it that you have no faith? But then notice this, verse 41. And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another. Now, did you see that? They feared exceedingly. Is that what your Bible says? That tells me they were more afraid and had more fear in the presence of the one who could calm the storm than they were in the presence of the storm. You see all these people on television and in all this high-powered church stuff now where they're just dancing around and having them a howdy-doody entertaining time, and they claim they're in the presence of God. Mark her down. They know nothing about the presence of God. As a matter of fact, if you'll check the succeeding miracles in Luke's gospel, picking up in the very next miracle out of chapter 8 that I've read, everybody who experienced his power were either astonished, amazed, or afraid to be in his presence. Where is the fear tonight? Where is the reverence of a Savior that can say, be still, and the whole creation lays down? We're missing that tonight. And camp meeting isn't about getting you stirred up. Camp meeting's about getting you in the presence of God with a holy fear of his power. My school principal, when I was in grade school, was F.W. Reed. His first name was Flake. I never called him that because he'd have killed you. When I'd go from building A to building B, sometimes a hair stand up on the back of your neck, because if he saw you step off the sidewalk on the grass, he'd holler out, his office window. Hey, get off that grass. I respected the man. About halfway, afraid of him. When he called assembly, you went to assembly. I remember him having assembly one day. He called a boy and girl kissing down in the gymnasium. We had an assembly, had an hour and a half lecture on puppy love. I remember that. You say, wasn't that boring? Scared me to death from being around a girl for a long time, I'll tell you that. But I finally figured out if he was so down on it, there must be something good about that. So I kind of went the other direction. But I mean, they respected him. I mean, respected him. I saw him on the streets of Statesville years ago. He's passed away now, coming out of the post office. And I stopped him. And I said, Mr. Reed, I want to thank you for everything you taught me and everything you helped me with. He didn't even remember who I was. But I remembered who he was. I want to tell you what, Jesus isn't the man upstairs. He isn't your big buddy. And if you got a sticker and he's your co-pilot, mark over the co or get rid of the sticker one. Do something. He's not just your, I mean, I'm so disgusted over this watering down of his holiness and his person and who he is. I'll tell you something these boys learned here. They didn't say, man, we've learned something about the Sea of Galilee. Oh, no. They said, we're in the presence of a different kind of man that has the power to bring calm in the midst of the storm. And I want to tell you why they thought that way, and I want to tell you when you think that way. They never thought that way when they saw him raise the dead and heal demons and cast out disease. But when water got to slapping in their face, when this thing gets personal, that's when you'll realize who he is. I mean, it's one thing for you to stand up and sing Standing on the Promises, and another thing for you to hit a day when you have to. And I won't tell you this tonight, I don't care who you are, one of these days this is all going to get real personal. Between you and the Lord. I've tried my best by God's grace to preach truth and rightly divide this book for soon be, if I live till June 23rd, be 35 years of preaching. I've tried to preach the whole counsel. I won't tell you, in the past 4 years, I've had to live more of my preaching than I ever have in my life. I've had to believe what I've preached. And there comes times when it gets personal. That's where we need to get tonight. I mean, it's all right for a preacher to preach the truth and never have experienced a lot of that stuff. Truth's truth. It'll work. But I want to tell you, it's something else when you're walking right in the middle of it. These disciples are saying, you know, I really don't care what he doeth today, and I really don't care what he done for Peter's mother-in-law. Right now, that's not our problem. I want to know, does this man have power over the wind and the sea? So he just created them a calm. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, preacher, it really doesn't matter how Brother Finney and you and have jumped around and hollered. It don't really matter how Brother Joe will act next week. What I'm really wanting to know tonight, can he handle my situation? Amen, he can handle it. He could handle it before Brother Finney and I got here, and he'll handle it after Brother Joe and Brother Finney and I are long gone. He can handle it tonight. Maybe you need a calm created. Why don't you come to him tonight and say, Master, Master, tell him what you've come to the conclusion about. Tell him what's bothering you. Tell him you've sailed these seas before, but under God, you ain't never been hit in the side of the head with a wave like that last one hit you. Tell him that tonight. He already knows that anyway. Wake him up. He knows where you are. Would you stand with us tonight? The musicians are coming. I appreciate your attention to the Word of God. If you have a need in your heart tonight, you come. And maybe He'll create a calm for you tonight. Just for you, just for your situation. He's able to do that tonight. The calm before the storm, the calm after the storm, the calm during the storm. Them and Him, just Him. Now it's Him and them. Maybe you come in here tonight and it's you and Jesus. Wouldn't it be a blessing to lead tonight Jesus and you? Let Him change all of that tonight. Brother Tim's leading us. You come if God's speaking to you, brother.